right. Good morning to each of you. Appreciate so much you being here this morning for our Sunday School Hour. Last week, you will remember, we began a topical study dealing with some life principles. These are life principles that every Christian ought to be aware of and ought to be familiar with. And so we began by stating the purpose for our life. And we learned that the purpose of our life, both for now and forever, is that we might glorify God. That's the purpose of it. And we do that, of course, you remember we saw, we glorify God as we grow and mature in our faith, and then as we mature, then we begin to bring forth spiritual fruit in our lives. That is, we're bringing others into the family of God. We're winning people for Jesus Christ. But there's something more, and as we're going to see in our study today, we also glorify God as we submit ourselves and we yield ourselves to His absolute control. To His absolute control. Now, as we approach this subject, there are two key terms that many times are used wrongly among Christian people. It's two terms that sometimes are even used interchangeably. They're used synonymously, and yet there is a clear difference between these two terms that are found in the Word of God. The first term is the will of God. That's the first one. The will of God. Now let me tell you what the will of God, first of all, let me tell you what the will of God is not. This is the negative side. This is what the will of God is not. First of all, it is not physical. The will of God is not physical. Contrary to popular belief, the will of God is never connected with a geographic location. And the will of God is never connected with a specific place of ministry. The will of God is not connected with physical things such as that. As we get into the Scriptures, we find the will of God is very clearly identified for us. And as you go through the Bible and you look at all the places where you find that phrase, the will of God, you'll find that God's will is always spiritual. It's not physical, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual. In other words, there are certain things the Bible tells us very specifically that God wills. For example, in 2 Peter 3:9, it is God's will that all men should be saved. Our salvation, that's the will of God, you see. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is God's will that we should be thankful. That we ought to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the matter of our salvation, the matter of our attitude of thankfulness. Not only that, 1 Peter 2, verse 13 to verse 15, as we've seen in our Sunday morning session over the past couple of weeks, this thing of submission is God's will. It's God's will that we should be in submission. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 to 7, it is also God's will that we should be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, the Bible says. In other words, being set apart to God. Now here's the thing. We discover and we come to know God's will. Here's how we come to know what God's will is. We come to know God's will by allowing God's Word to change our thinking. That's how you know God's will. That's how you know God's will. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Well, how are we to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. See? It starts as we get into God's Word. God's Word begins to change our way of thinking. The result is it begins to change our way of living. We're not conformed to this world. We're transformed. And when that happens, notice what it says. Then we are able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God, you need to understand that God's will is the very same for everybody, because it's spiritual. God's will is exactly the same for every person, that all men might be saved and that all men might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's will for every single person. And we find the same thing in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, verse 29, also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, just some other verses that you can look at later on. But there are some things in this life. There are some things in this life that simply cannot be proven with Scripture. For example, if I were to say to you this morning, if you were to ask me, Pastor Crocker, why have you stayed in Singapore this many years? And I would say to you, well, I believe that was God's will for my life. Okay, if it's God's will, that means it's spiritual. Show me a verse in the Bible. Well, it's found right over here. I'll read it to you, okay? It's in the book of First Opinions. No, actually, there is no verse that says, Ray Crocker, go to Singapore and pastor Heritage Baptist Church. There's no verse in the Bible for that. See? I cannot give you a scripture. Cannot give you a scripture for that. All I can tell you is how that God has led, how that God has directed me through various circumstances to bring me to this place. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. And it's that thing that we call, it's not really the will of God because it's not a spiritual thing. But this is what we might call, this is number two, the plan of God. This is the plan of God. Now, when we talk about God's plan for each life, we are talking about that specific place of ministry. And that specific place of service that God has for each one of us individually, get this, according to the gifts that He has given to us. He has not gifted all of us the same, right? We all have different gifts. And so He has gifted us in order that we might be able to fulfill what His plan is for each one of our lives. He does have a place, by the way. He does have a place for every one of you to be involved in serving. God has a plan for you. He didn't save you. And the only purpose for your Christian life is so you can sit in that seat, lay back, fight to stay awake. Brother Cokeen already admitted it was hard to get up this morning. Hey, I had the same problem, I have to admit, okay? But God saved us for more than just coming here and warming a seat for an hour or so a week. God has more in store for our life. God has more planned for our life. There is something specific that God wants us to be involved in, something specific that God wants us to do, either here at home and in the Sunday school or in the junior church or serving in some capacity as an officer in the church or whatever it is that God has, either for you here at home or on a mission field somewhere, but God has a place He wants you to serve. He saved you for that. He gifted you with what you need so you can do that. And all of that fits under His plan for your life. That's His plan for your life. Now, in both cases, God's desire is exactly the same. Whether we're talking about the will of God or the plan of God, God's desire is exactly the same. And that is that we might be submissive to whatever it is. God's desire is that we might be submissive to His will. In other words, we're to be submissive to the clear commands that He has given us in His Word, and we're to be submissive to His leading. That's the direction that He gives us in our lives according to His plan. But this presents a point of struggle for every one of us, because all of us have a tendency that is very natural for us. And that tendency, probably nobody here has this problem, but there's a lot of people who do. And the tendency is to be stubborn. Now, I know that doesn't apply to anybody here, right? Some of you guys are kind of nudging your wife, or your wife is nudging you, you know. And some of you are just sitting on a row by yourself, and you're thankful, right? There's nobody nudging. But anyway, we tend to be stubborn. We tend to be stubborn. And because of that stubbornness, we want to be in control of our life. We want to be in control of our life. We want to be the master of our own destiny. Because of that, we need to pay attention to that admonition. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves. That word humble actually not only means to take a lower place, but it actually carries the idea of submission. Humble yourself. Submit yourself. Stop being rebellious, because rebellion always says, I want my way. Humility says, I'll do it your way. See, there's a difference there. And so we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may due time, or may exalt you in due time. Now, as we deal with the subject of submission this morning, three things that I want us to notice together for the next few minutes. First of all, I want us to notice, number one, the reasons for submission. Why should we be submissive? Why should we be submissive? Well, there are two purpose. There's a twofold purpose for our submission, which explains why we ought to do it. First of all, when we are in a state of submission, number one, God is obeyed. God is obeyed. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the prophet said this, He hath showed you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk, notice it, humbly. That, what does that word humbly mean? Submissively. Submissively. We are to do justly, to love mercy, and we are to walk humbly with thy God. In other words, every day of our life ought to be lived totally yielded to His control. Totally yielded to His control. Now, this is certainly clearly seen, illustrated in the life of our great example. And our great example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, notice what the Bible says concerning the attitude that He had during His life on this earth. Philippians 2, verse 6 and following. It says, who being in the form of God. Remember John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. He was God. He is God. And when He clothed Himself in a body of human flesh, He was still God. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. You know what that means? Even though He was God in a body of human flesh, He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. There it is again. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, all through His life, we see illustrated in Him the same kind of humble submission to the will of God that ought to be seen in our life. It ought to be seen in our life. We see His submission, first of all, in His works. In John chapter 5, verse 36, here's what Jesus said. He said, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. The same works that I do. In John 4, verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat. In other words, the thing that gives me nourishment, the thing that keeps me going, the thing that just keeps me motivated in doing what I'm doing. My meat, what is it? To do the will of Him that sent me. That's my purpose in life. That's the goal that I have. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. In other words, to fulfill what God planned for my life. To fulfill that. And so we see it in His works. We also see it, number two, in His words. Notice in John chapter 12, verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me commandment." Notice it. "He gave me commandment what I should say." Now this is Jesus talking. And God the Father gave a commandment concerning what Jesus was to say and what He would speak. That's the Lord's testimony. Notice it in John 8:26. Jesus said this. He said, "I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." Who's the Him there? It's God the Father saying. What did Jesus say? He said exactly what God the Father told Him to say. He didn't come with a new message all on His own. He came with the message that was given to Him by God. By God. And by the way, since God does not contradict Himself, then any prophet who comes along with a message claiming to have a message from God, that message must totally agree with what Jesus said. Because God never contradicts Himself. Not only that, in John chapter 8, verse 28, here's what He said. "As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." I speak these things. John 14, 24. "The word which ye hear is not mine." These are not my words. "But the Father which sent me." So the conclusion we make from this then is simply this. Everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said was done and said in absolute obedience to the will and the plan of the Heavenly Father. And so it ought to be with us. We should be totally submissive to the will and to the plan of God for our lives, because that is the path of obedience. That is the path of obedience. By the way, this is so important simply because of the fact when we are submissive to God, not only is God obeyed, but I want you to notice letter B, God is glorified. God is glorified. And again, this truth is clearly illustrated in the life and in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse number 4, as Jesus was praying, here's what He said. He said, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work." That's the plan of His Heavenly Father. "I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." Now, we read that and we might say, well, yeah. After all, He was God, right? And I'm just a human. This doesn't apply to me. Well, let's look at the testimony of a human, okay? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." What's he saying? He's saying the same thing the Lord Jesus said. I finished the work God gave me to do. I've accomplished the plan that God laid out for my life. I've done in my life what God wanted to have done in and through my life. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, the Apostle Paul said. So the purpose of submission to the will of God and the purpose of submission to the plan of God is simply so that we might be walking in obedience to God and so that God might be glorified in our lives. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here. Number two, the principles of submission. The principles of submission. As we consider what it means to submit ourselves to God, As we consider what it means to walk in obedience to His plan and to His purpose for our life, there are two elements that we need to mention. And the first one is letter A, sensitivity. Sensitivity. A person truly submitted to God is going to be sensitive. There's going to be a sensitivity in his life. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. When a person is truly submitted to God, he's going to be sensitive in that he is going to find himself offended by the same things that offend God. Now, see, a lot of times we get offended, but it's not because God is involved in it at all. We get offended because somebody said something, I just didn't like what they said. I'm not offended, you know. Or we get offended because somebody does something that we take as a slight or an insult. And we get offended by that. And God's honor is not at stake at all. It's just we get our feelings hurt. And we get offended by it, see. But true sensitivity in the biblical sense is when we get offended by the very things that our God finds to be offensive. When we're offended by those same things. Henry Martin was an English missionary who served in India, and he was filled with such a love and zeal for God that when he arrived at the city of Calcutta, this was in April of 1806, his prayer was this. When he arrived on the field, he said, "Now let me burn out for God. Let me burn out for God." After his arrival, Henry Martin visited one of the Hindu temples there, and when he saw the people bowing and worshiping their multitude of false gods, the historian says that he ran from the place with his eyes literally filled with tears, and he wrote in his diary that he did not know how he could live in a place where his Lord and Savior were so dishonored. He didn't even know if he could live there in such a place. Henry Martin was like those early believers in the church at Ephesus. The Lord Jesus said concerning them in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, He said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience," notice this one, "and how thou canst not bear them that do evil." What's he talking about? A holy sensitivity. That we find ourselves actually being offended by the very things that offend our God. Holy sensitivity. A person who is truly submitted to God will be pleased by the things that are pleasing to God. That sensitivity is a two-edged sword. Not only are we offended by the things that offend God, but we're pleased by the things that please and honor Him. And when our heart is filled with such a sensitivity to those kinds of things, then we are willing to make any kind, letter B, any kind of spiritual sacrifice. The sensitivity leads to the sacrifice, you see. Many saints through the centuries who have made the ultimate sacrifice. In other words, they were willing to lay down their physical lives for God simply because of the fact that they were so sensitive to God's holiness and God's desire that they were willing to pay the ultimate price. They were willing to lay down their lives for their faith in God. Many of these great heroes, they're mentioned in the Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. The Bible talks about those who were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Why did they endure all of that? Why were they willing to go through all of that? It was simply because of the fact they would rather suffer and die a painful death than disobey or dishonor the God who had saved them. That's why they did it. That's why they did it. Church history is filled with many illustrations. By the way, every Christian, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. I think every Christian ought to put it on their priority list to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read about those heroes of the faith who, instead of denying the Lord Jesus Christ, they were willing to suffer being tormented with unimaginable tortures. They were willing to be beheaded or to be drowned or to be burned at a stake, whatever it was deemed was to be done to them. They were willing to face that rather than to say, I recant, I deny my faith in Jesus Christ. They were willing to die and to suffer all kinds of terrible atrocities rather than to displease, to dishonor the Lord who had saved them. Now, God may never call us to die a martyr's death. He may never call us to that point where we have to make a choice whether I'm going to serve God or whether I'm going to be put in front of a firing squad. We may never have to make that decision. But the truth of the matter is, even if God never calls us to have to make that decision, He does call every one of us to die to self. To die to self and to obey Him. In fact, that's the very attitude the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's one thing about sacrifice that is always true. No, regardless of what the sacrifice was, there was one thing that was always true about a sacrifice. Know what it was? It's going to die. All sacrifices have that in common. And that's what we're called to. We're called to die. To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what's that next word? Unreasonable? No, it's your reasonable service. It's the least we can do, considering all that He has done for us. And that's exactly why the Apostle Paul said in his own testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, I die daily. What's he saying? Simply, I die to myself. I die to my own dreams, my own desires, my own ambitions, my own goals in life. I die to all of that in order that I might totally live for God. I die daily. I die daily. To be totally submitted to God means that we are grieved by the things that grieve Him and we are pleased by the things that please Him. And that sensitivity is so strong that we're willing to die to self in order that He might truly have first place in our heart and in our life. And that brings us to the third thing that I want us to notice together this morning, and that is this, the reward of submission. The reward of submission. Now let's go back to the text we saw in the beginning of our study. You remember it? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. In 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, humble yourselves or submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now here's the reward. That He may exalt you in due time. That He may exalt you in due time. The truth is, no sacrifice that you make for Jesus Christ, no sacrifice that you make for Jesus Christ will ever go unrewarded. Now, the reward may not be immediate. The reward may be delayed. In fact, it may be a reward that you will not realize until you get to heaven. But no sacrifice you will ever make in your life is going to go unnoticed, forgotten, or unrewarded. Every sacrifice that is made for Christ's sake is a sacrifice that is going to be rewarded. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18, to him that soweth righteousness shall be, what's the word there? Shall be a certain reward. It's not a maybe thing. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. And one of the final promises in the Bible very clearly declares in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12, behold, this is the Lord Jesus talking. He says, behold, I come quickly. And notice what he says. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And when it comes to the spiritual will of God for your life, and the physical plan and the physical purpose of God for your life, and let me ask you just two simple questions. First of all, are you walking in complete obedience to God? I mean, that's a question only you can answer. When you look at your life and you begin to look into the Word of God and you begin to see the will of God that God has laid out so clearly in this book of instruction, and you begin to compare what you are doing in your life with what this book says, how does it even out? Are you walking in complete obedience to Him? And are you glorifying God in your life by your total submission to Him? If not, then we need to sincerely get into the Word of God, don't we? We need to sincerely get into the Word of God. We need to ask the Spirit of God to help us. We need to ask the Spirit of God to help us that we might be sensitive to those things that are offensive to our Heavenly Father. We also need to ask the Spirit of God to help us to be sensitive to those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And then we also need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us that we might be willing to die to self, that we might be willing to give up everything this world would offer in order that God might truly be preeminent in our heart and in our life. That should be our desire. And whatever the price we may be called to pay, whatever it may be that we may be called to give up for His sake, please understand that when you stand before God's throne in the day of judgment, you'll be able to say with the songwriter, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. What a wonderful thing it will be to serve Him faithfully and then to hear the judge say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. I trust that that will be a reality in each one of your lives. That when you stand before God and the books are opened and the account of your life is reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ and all of your works are put through the fire and tried, I pray that there'll be a lot of gold and a lot of silver and that there'll be great rewards because you have lived your life totally submitted to the will of God as found in the Scripture and the plan of God as you are led day by day by His precious Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word.